changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
All right. Well, I want to introduce my next guest. His name is Jeff Nischwitz, and I want to pull up his bio. Bear with me just a moment. I had all my tabs open this morning, except for that particularly, because I want to share with you exactly who he is. And it is not coming up here with me. So bear with me just one moment. I know what I can do. Transforming people and organizations. He is a Emerson posited that life is a journey, not a destination. And Jeff Nischwitz has indeed been on a journey of a lifetime. And he is the founder and chief story debunker of the Nischwitz Group, a speaking, consulting, coaching company that transforms people and organizations one story at a time. We've talked many times on these jumpstarts about the importance of story and about how Homo sapiens, literally as thinking people, thinking humans, are based in story. That's what we do. Everything is about story. So let's invite Jeff on because he's the expert on this. Jeff, welcome to today's Jumpstart. Good to see you.
Thank you, Will. You got me all excited about this sunset yoga, and I'm going to head to the beach myself, maybe.
Come down and join us. Where do we find you right now?
I'm in Tampa, Florida.
Tampa. Oh, okay. So you're in Tampa and I'm in Key Largo.
Oh, we're not far.
Yeah, I'm north of you a bit.
Just a little.
Really funny because I've invited on a half dozen speakers so far to join me. And of them, half have been men and have all been bald, just like me. Do you think that we chromedomes are drawn to the industry or what?
Well, no. No, the key is that us courageous folks are drawn to the industry. I always tell people, because people will walk not quite with a shaved head. They'll have little bits, and I'll say, "Oh, they'll say I'm not ready to go there." I say, "All you need is a little courage. This is courage."
That is true. Yeah, I call that the cul-de-sac. Cul-de-sac, you know, they got this thing going on, and it's weird. When I finally did commit and shave it down, I was much colder not having my cul-de-sac.
Oh, it's crazy, isn't it? That little bit of hair, it works. Yeah. It does work.
So for those of you who are struggling for something to say that you're grateful for is your price of being a jump starter, you can say you're grateful you have hair, right? Well, Jeff, let's talk about this concept of shaking up our snow globe. And first of all, I want to ask you, what's the story behind snow globe leadership?
Yeah, well, there is story, of course. Everything's a story. I totally agree with you. I wasn't really changed much as, and I always have one with me, right? This is my wicked snow globe because I love Broadway theater.
Me but too.
The snow globes are all essentially the same. They look a lot different, but the concept's the same. Most of the time, they're a globe. They're heavy. They're light. This is glass. This has music. Some don't. And they've got something inside worth seeing, right? It's an idyllic scene. It's a farmscape, or it's a city, or a landmark, or in this case, it commemorates a show. But the magic in a snow globe is pretty clear. The snow globe, if it was being, and perhaps it is, but a snow globe exists for one purpose, and it's to be shaken, right? This is the reason for the snow globe. Otherwise, there would be no liquid, there'd be no sparklies inside it. It would just be a piece of art. But I started realizing that very few people ever shake their snow globe. It sits on a shelf or it sits on a desk, and the reason is because it's good enough. And that got me thinking about why we need to shake things up. And what happens is we tend to shake things up occasionally, but then when we do, we don't follow it up with any new action, new thinking, new perspective. So, and this is what I loved. And it was funny this happened on the stage because I didn't realize it. I just said, well, I shook it up on stage and said, what happens as soon as you stop shaking? And the whole audience screams out a singular word, settle. It begins to settle. And I went, wow, that's really cool. I had planned on that. And that is true because, so the concept is it's vital to continually shake our snow globe and to also remember that if I don't shift a perspective or an action, nothing really changed. And as soon as I stop shaking, everything settles and becomes okay. It's good enough, whether it be my life, my relationship, my leadership, my culture, and my business. So, my friends say that they believe that I contraption with the snow globe in my hand and a shaking constantly. Far off, because I tend to intentionally look at everything as if it was shaken up and say, well, okay, that's what we all believe, but what happens if we shake things up and see if there's another way to see this? And I tend to have a lot of conversations that end with this sound. A lot of people say they want to have an aha moment. I tend to offer people a moment of, that's interesting. So that's the story of the snow globe and the whole concept.
And how do we apply it to our own practical lives and practicality? In other words, I love the idea of not shaking. It almost reminds me of the Hippocratic oath, first do no wrong. And we seem to run around stirring things up in our own lives. I know in my work about complaining that, constantly complaining makes things worse, not better in our lives.
Well, and I love the complaining piece because it's something I've been thinking about recently. This is my example of shaking things up. I hear an old saying, and I always have this, when you think about old sayings, you go, why are they old? They're either because they're still wise or it's just an old habit, right?
Right.
And someone recently said to me, they're going through a difficult time, a client, and they said, well, that's easier said than done, is what they said. Now, I've heard that for decades, as long as I've been alive. It's easier said than done. But as soon as they said it, what hit me was, well, but it's easier done than complained about. So which is the phrase that will serve us, right? There's a shakeup right there.
That's the number one thing that people say to my posts on Facebook, because I post 3-4 times a day, and I'll encourage this behavior or this attitude or whatever. And the number one thing people say is that is easier said than done. And I've always thought, of course it is. Anything is easy. I'm going to get out of bed, if I say that, is easier than getting out of bed. But anything worthwhile must be done. It must be put into physical form and activated.
Yeah, so I'm an and person. So take that and say, is it true that it's easier said than done? Yep, I can't disagree with that. It's true, and it's easier done than complained about. And how much energy is going into the complaining?
Yes. So,
that's just, you asked, how do we apply it? Mm-hmm. We start, and this is probably the hardest part. And when I opened a workshop recently with this invitation to the attendees, I said, for the next couple of hours, I want you to assume that everything I tell you is 100% true. I'm not going to tell you that it is. It is to me. But I'm going to ask you to assume it for the next 2 hours, because if you don't, every time you hear something that's different than you're used to, you will naturally close it off. Because we are wired. You talked about human beings. We are wired for self-protection. We are wired for comfort. And so how do I shake up my comfort zone? I've got to do something to ultimately clip that wire, which is, I'd say in many ways, I am there. But first, I've got to just turn it off. So I'm going to plant a different assumption. I said, look, when you leave here, you can then decide that everything I've said is bull. But for the next couple hours, just assume that it's true. Be open to that possibility. Because without the possibility, nothing will change.
So why is it important for snow globe leadership to emerge now? I mean, with so much going on in the world.
Oh my gosh. It is so vital now. And it's interesting you say that, Will, because over the last year, the first year of the pandemic, it wasn't as much true. But the last year, I've had a lot of pushback of people saying, I get your concept, Jeff, but frankly, I'm shaken enough. I don't need any more shaking.
Yes.
And I said, well, see, that's where we've got it wrong. Because the truth is, we need more internal shaking. when we're being externally shaken, because the shaking we've experienced the last 2 years is external. It's happening to us.
Right.
And so when I look at, when I'm focused on that external shaking, this is the word people don't like, but that's my role, is to tell the truth. That to me is a victim mentality. I'm tired of being shaken by the world. Well, if you want, right. if you don't want to be shaken by the world, you have to shake yourself. Change your perspective, change how you experience life, change how you interact, change how you relate. And when I think about that, I'm a kind of visual person, stories and visuals. I think about, imagine if you're in a giant snow globe that is body size, and the snow globe is being shaken by some force. The best strategy is not to hold on tight, because if you do, you'll be slammed against the walls. The key is to stay in motion while it's being shaken, because that's your best hope of having a smoother ride. It's still going to be bumpy.
Right.
So I believe we are at a time, and I'll give you one specific example that is, to me, it's becoming my, I guess, my marching mantra of the times. I think of what we've seen over the last 2 years, and we've talked about it, we've written about it, I'm not seeing enough being done about it, is what has been the mental health impact of these times on us? And we know it's massive. We know we've got burnout, we've got anxiety numbers are up, depression rates, suicide rates up, stress, all these things are up.
Spousal abuse, yes.
But what are we doing about it?
Right.
And I challenge business leaders. I just finished my book called Snow Globe Leadership a few months ago, and there's a challenge in there. And it says that if you're a leader in an organization, you have three choices when it comes to your people's mental health. One is you say, it's not my problem. You know, leave that at home. You deal with that. I got a business to run. That's one. The second choice is I say, I'm going to build a culture where I don't add to your stress. So basically what's happening in your life is yours, but I'm not going to make it worse.
Right.
Well, that's all right. But the third choice, which is obviously to me the red pill, going back to Matrix, the red pill is to say, you're part of my life. I'm going to create a culture that actually improves your life, not neutral, but it actually improves your life. By you being here, you will have an experience here that helps mitigate and diminish all the stressors you're having in your life, not just the ones at work. Because, you know, we've talked about from a lot of my lifetime, at least the last 20 years, about mental health crisis. And we mm-hmm. tend to think it's about people who have, you know, diagnosable conditions, not necessarily. Mental health is about well-being, and there's a lot of talk about it, but I think right now that we're at a crisis point, and organizations need to ask themselves, what am I prepared to do to be a part of this solution as opposed to not contributing to the problem?
Not taking that into consideration is certainly to their detriment. I was thinking, I have a good friend who lives in Kansas City, Missouri. He and another gentleman and six other people left this one real estate brokerage firm, started their own. And this is their 10-year anniversary, and their valuation is like $25 billion in 10 years. It's just unbelievable the amount of money that they make. However, they put first and foremost, they wanted to be elected every single year as the best place to work in Kansas City. They wanted to make their people happy and healthy, both physically and emotionally, and provide and encourage them to take time off, but also to work hard and to really care about them. And you're right. There is a bottom line benefit to what you're talking about. As in the National Speakers Association, they often say there are hard topics and soft topics. And really, when you slice it down, a hard topic is anything that infects the bottom line. And certainly what you're saying definitely affects the bottom line. What do you see as the future for leadership using this snow globe idea, this concept? I mean, because you don't want to constantly be shaking things up. It seems like that in and of itself might lead to impetuousness, burnout, things like that.
Well, but think about this. We've got to distinguish, are we shaking things up for ourselves or shaking things up for others? The problem is we're trying to shake other people's snow globes too often, and that creates the stress and the uncertainty. What we want to do instead is invite others to shake their own snow globe. because I, you know, this is where I push back. I want to be shaking my snow globe every day, which means that all that means is I'm open to seeing things differently. I see a different perspective. That to me has never created burnout for me. It's given me a sense, and this is the key, and this is what served me so well during the pandemic. It gives me the limited control I have in this world. You know, I only control me, and for the most part, I control most of me. There's some emotional reactions I don't control, but we're so caught up in this arrogant belief, I'll call it arrogant, that we actually control things around us. And here came this pandemic that said, actually, that's not true. And I think that was one of the biggest challenges of the pandemic. People came to realize something that was always true, is they don't control anything except themselves. I have the ability to influence other things, but I control this. So my ability to shake things up, which means sometimes as simple as just seeing something differently, that never burns me out. It empowers me.
Got it.
It lifts me up. It reminds me that I am not a victim.
Well, so then because I know you talk a lot about empowerment, that basically empowerment is certainly fed by our ability to see things in new and unique ways. What do you feel keeps people stuck in seeing things the same way? I told the story the other day about our apartment complex here, our condo complex, and about how we were talking about getting an on-site manager and they had tried it 20 years ago and it didn't work. And so they still see it as something that cannot work. So why do you think people get stuck and are afraid to shake up their snow globes?
Well, at the most basic level, it's the same answer to almost every question about behavior that doesn't ultimately serve us. And it is our natural instinct and inclination towards safety. From the time we were children, we were taught to protect ourselves, not by people often, but by our circumstances. So we have an innate, a natural sense of self-protection. And that serves us for a while in our life. But for the most part, it gets in the way. And so a lot of times I'll tell clients, look, assume that every one of your reactions is protection. And now assess it through the lens of protection. And comfort is a form of protection. Even though, and this is the fascinating thing, and I'm sure you've seen it, Will, if you talk to, you know, they say that like 80% of people don't like change.
Right.
But that's not actually true. It's the way they ask the question. Because if you go to 100% of the people and say, look, in 5 years, everything about your life is going to be exactly the same. How many people are going to say, yeah, I'll take that deal? Probably a handful. And most of those are in the midst of some crisis right now. Because they're tired of the other crisis, right? They want change, but they want to control change. They want to know what it's going to be. They want to know how it's going to turn out. They want to have a script. And that's not how life works, but that's that self-protection mechanism. So my natural instinct is to protect. And when you start, it's fascinating, when you start looking through the lens of self-protection, the number of aha moments is staggering. Where you look at a behavior and go, imagine that's for self-protecting. What are you protecting? Oh my God, I'm protecting this. I don't need to protect that anymore. So now I can start to shift the perspective, shift the behavior. But I've got to be willing to acknowledge where it's coming from. That's the simplest answer to your question, Will.
It's just fascinating. Because I've never thought about this idea. You've just sort of knocked my brain off the rails. This idea, Jeff, that everything we do is based on protection, and that would include things we do or don't do in business, risks we do or do not take, and that shaking up of the snow globe is being open to and taking some of those risks and trying new things. And that's really where we're going to find change. Why do you feel there's so much focus on impact these days?
Well, I'm a big fan of impact because to me, impact goes deeper than outcomes. Impact, when I think about impact, I think about the stone hitting the water to create the ripples, mm-hmm. right? I can build a bigger machine. I can get somewhere faster. I can have objectives and goals. But when I think about impact, I think they equate to ripples for me. And here's the thing, though, and this is, I don't think, being talked about enough, Will. people will say, I want to have more impact. I said, actually, you don't. Then they go, how do you know what I'm thinking? Well, I know what people are thinking because I know how people think. We all have impact. Every day we have impact. The question is it the impact we want to create? And is it, and are the ripples of the size and direction we want to have? You know, when I talk to leaders and managers or individuals, one of my core concepts is talking about these series of impact questions. Like, what was your intended impact? What was your intended message? But what might have been your unintended impact and your unintended message? Because we have impact all day long, but people think it's this thing of, I need a bigger job, or I need a bigger role, or it's got to have more meaning. That might be part of it. But if you start back to my own snow globe, in what ways can I have different impact? Or I guess what I would often argue is more intentional impact. What's the impact? What's the rip? What do you want your ripple to be? You already have a ripple. Is it the ripple you want it to be? And so in what ways are you going to lead differently, think differently? What needs to shake? What needs to be shaken up or shaken off in order to create that intentional ripple? So I'm a big fan of impact when we go a little deeper with it.
I can imagine. Yeah, and I love that analogy. People do tend to think, well, once I've got a big platform, or how can I have impact? I work alone or whatever. But as you say, impact is not neutral. We're even impacting our own lives. I impact my dog by the way I speak to him and the time that I spend with him. So we are all having impact. I love the idea of maybe thinking at the end of the day, was my impact, as I'm going to sleep, in what ways was my impact positive today? And maybe what ways would I like to have more of a positive impact tomorrow? Mm-hmm. You know, little things like that. Interesting. So tell me more about your book, and tell me when it's coming out, and how people can learn more and get information and possibly buy a copy.
Well, the good news is it came out. It came out at in November of 2021. So it's still fresh. It is a journey, as we've been talking, it's a journey through snow globe shaking. And it talks about what I think are the real core of what's happening today. As obviously, from my prior comment, there's some comments about mental health. There's a whole chapter, I would say, shaking up the concept of vulnerability. You know, the last 10 or 15 years, ever since Brené Brown dropped the vulnerability bomb on businesses and leaders, we're talking about it, but I think we struggle mightily with it. We think one of the sections starts off by saying we have to take the emotion out of vulnerability, because people think vulnerability means I have to be emotional. And many acts of vulnerability have nothing to do with emotion. My definition of vulnerability in the book is taking the risk of allowing people to experience my humanness.
Which is weird because usually vulnerability is seen, I don't know the actual definition, but I would say a willingness to be hurt. You know, that's what people tend to think of. I'm going to be vulnerable so you can hurt me if you need to. But you're saying, say it again.
Well, my definition is that vulnerability is taking the risk of allowing others to experience my humanness.
Wow. And there's no shame in our humanness. There's nothing wrong with our humanness. Therefore, there is nothing to feel sad or uncomfortable or unhappy about.
And you're right, Will. The problem with the word is, and this is, I think, a real struggle. If you say to someone, for the next 30 minutes, I want you to be vulnerable. Most of us go, oh, no, because vulnerability is a risk. That's a given. I don't want to be vulnerable. And yet, if you say to people, how would it feel in the next 30 minutes in a safe place to be vulnerable? Oh my God, that would be so great. So the word has a different connotation depending on where we're coming from. So yeah, the book talks about vulnerability. It talks about impact. It talks about the tolerance factor in business, how we tolerate people in situations that create our culture. They're not just exceptions. They actually are our culture. So I'm proud of this book. I'm proud that what's in it came to me, mm-hmm. and that I was able to share it and had the courage to share it. It's easy to find the book, Snow Globe Leadership. Search that, you'll find it. Luckily, I have a unique last name. If you can spell my last name, which everybody's got, it's on my website. I'm looking for more snow globe shakers in the world. people are willing to do it differently, to have a different conversation, starting with themselves, and more importantly, taking it to whatever people they serve, whether they in an organization, in their family, in their friendships. I believe we as a collective have an opportunity to really change things. I think people are scared, they're sad, they're frustrated, and to me it's just a reminder that no matter what's happening around me, I've got an opportunity to change the story. Mm-hmm. Because when it comes to people, there are no facts. There's information, but those facts form a story, and I decide what the story is, not the facts.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world.